Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 49 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is tape or CD number for program number 151. If you like the tape, if the tape speaks to you, if it strengthens you, or if you were saved from it, you'd like to have a copy of it, or if you'd like to have a copy to give to a loved one, the Lord has called us to be the lampstands, as it mentions in the book of Revelation. He is the aggregate lampstand. With him, are the lampstands as well. Talking of the churches in the book of Revelation, I'll be showing you in the next tape or program different items, different messages, different signs, different revelations or pictures from the book of Revelation. The Bible states that God gave Jesus the book of Revelations. He gave him the signs or the pictures to show to people, because the book of Revelation is so vast, so complex, so fulfilling that it would be impossible, and it's so revealing that it would be impossible to use thousands of words to explain it. And so the Lord gave us pictures in the book of Revelation so that we'd be able to tell we children, and you know, children can understand pictures. A lot of them can't read, but they can see pictures. And so God has given us the book of Revelation so that we can see, so that we can picture, so that we can know the pictures, the signs, and the meanings of all the different things, like the angels, the stars, the trumpets, the lampstands, and all the different things. It'll make the book of Revelation easier for you to understand. If you read the first verse in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, you'll see. Read that into the tape right now so that you can have you got the scripture. You have to get a Bible and go to the book of Revelation and find verse 1. Hurry along, please.
The revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so the revelation, this is to reveal Jesus Christ. Okay? Then go ahead.
Which God gave unto him.
God gave the revelation of Jesus Christ to Jesus. Okay? Now, I believe that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever, even before his incarnation, before he came to the world. It says that he was the same, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that means that yesterday, before Christ ever became incarnate, in other words, before God entered Jesus Christ to be God in a man, he was the same before that. So the Old Testament is true, because Jesus is the Word of God, and therefore Jesus, God, the Word of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if the Lord said something in the Old Testament, then it is still the same. Amen?
Amen.
So a lot of people will take issues with that, but I certainly do not agree with them at all. The Bible is not something that we can arbitrarily, you shouldn't be able to argue over. The Bible plainly states that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even before his incarnation, before he came into the, God came into the world in a man. Okay? So whatever the Lord allowed in the Old Testament, he allows now. He plainly stated that the circumcision would come to an end, that there would be a New Testament, that the when God came to the world as a man, that there would be no more animal sacrifices because the true sacrifice came into the world. God came into the world to be a sacrifice, the sacrifice in a man. Isn't that something? God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God allowed something in the Old Testament, the rules that he set forth, if he gave something to the different prophets, then he gave it to them, and he would give it to prophets today if he deemed it necessary to give whatever he gave to the prophets in the Old Testament, he would give it to them today. Amen?
Amen.
If it wasn't wrong then it isn't wrong today. Amen?
Amen.
But it has to be God give you whatever you have, otherwise it isn't of God. All right? Now, some of these things that the Bible teaches are a little bit complex, but in the book of Revelation, we see, go ahead, read it again.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him.
Okay, now, God has revealed Jesus Christ in the Old Testament before he became a flesh. Amen?
Amen.
He told us of him over 333 times, that he would come into the world as a man. And what he allowed then, he allows now, with the exception of the things that have now been fulfilled by Jesus. Animal sacrifices are an abomination to the Lord now because the true sacrifice has come. If you sacrifice animals now, then you're infuriating God because you're the same as saying that you don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Lamb and is the Lamb of God. So these animal sacrifices have been done away with. The things that God has given us, he's given us life. Now, the book of Revelation states that God is like, looks like a jasper stone. That's also symbolic. And that the New Jerusalem is like a jasper stone. A jasper stone is a very beautiful green stone. What are you saying? Is God green? No, I said it's symbolic, a type, a figure, or a symbol of the Lord. Green is symbolic of the fullness of life. Amen?
Amen.
And so God is the fullness of life. Everything in him is life. Amen?
Amen.
And the New Jerusalem, the people that are the New Jerusalem is green because they're filled with the fullness of God's life. Amen?
Amen.
You look out and see green things, grass and all that, they're alive. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what the book of Revelation means. As I said, it states here, go ahead and read the rest of this. You have to receive the first verse in the book of Revelation to ever understand it. Go ahead.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
Mm-hmm. And he did what?
He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
Right, he signified it. Then read the next verse.
Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw.
Right, so he signified it with signs, pictures. Okay, then what?
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
Okay, now, right now we're going to go to the throne of the Lord, and we have some letters, and we're going to not do that today, but I'm going to start breaking down the book of Revelation in the next few messages because it also has to do with God's life living in you. Okay, so Father, we love you, Lord, because you loved us. We love you because you are our life. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. You have no mother. You have no father. You were there at the beginning of everything. And Lord, I ask that you anoint outwardly this service. Let everything that is said in this service be directly from the throne. Let your spirit cascade down in me, and let your words cascade through me. Let them flow down from your throne. Easy, Lord, so that it edifies the church and that souls will be saved. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen. Okay, now where's the first letter from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Olomo, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray this letter finds you blessed in the Spirit of God. Pastor, I want to use this opportunity to appreciate what God is doing out here through your wonderful work. It's amazing to see people getting saved through your world newsletters. I was introduced to the newsletters by my workmate, and I long for the continuous flow of your lectures through my address. Sir, I am a parent and husband who wishes to raise my family in a way God wants, and I therefore request you to send me at least 3 copies of the Bible and the Messiah book. May God Almighty bless you for the work you're doing throughout the world. Signed, Jacob from Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. All right, then what?
The next letter is from Fayetteville, Georgia. To my brother in Christ Jesus, how are you doing, sir? You know, I really look forward to your newsletters every week, and today you really shocked me on one. The name of it is Earthquake. It has really opened my eyes a lot more. You know, I'm so sorry for those people out there that keep following the lusts of the flesh. I'm so glad that I'm really working more and more away from that. But you know, it's really hard when you are around a bunch of people that don't care anymore. See, Mr. Olomo, the Lord has really blessed me. He has brought me to my father, who I've never seen, and my grandparents, who I've never seen either. And guess what? They are God-fearing people also. But I told them that I'm still interested in coming to your ministry when I get out, so I'm hoping it will be possible. See, sir, I'm wanting to be somewhere that they're on fire for the Lord 24/7, because if I'm not with that, I really don't want to say what will happen. And see, I truly believe that the time is getting very close. I mean what you preach in your letter and what I've been seeing, and most of all what God has been telling us through the Bible, that we better fall to our knees and repent before it's too late. I mean, it's so plain and open what he wants and what he's doing. Sometimes I just don't understand why people do the things they do, but I've been there myself at one time. But Mr. Olomo, please explain this to me. Jesus says that we must come through him to reach the Father. So when I pray to God, and I just thank God for his son Jesus. But does that mean I have to pray to Jesus so my prayers will be answered?
When you are praying to God, you have to pray. You have to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you also have to pray through Christ. But when you're praying to God, you're praying to Christ because Christ is God. God, Jesus says that he is the life, okay? And so God is the only one that's filled with life. He's the fullness of life. And if Christ is the life, then he is the quickening or the life-giving spirit that gives life to us. And that's why when I was mentioning in the message yesterday that God created us out of the dust of the ground. This is in Genesis 2:7. He also stated that he then... See, we're just dust. With the exception of then, when he created this body, this human body out of dust, he then blew his breath into the nostrils, which he blew his spirit into us. And at that time, his spirit was eternal, and that body would have been eternal had they not, the first couple had not listened to Satan. And then it states in the same verse that God made man a living soul. And so the body is the likeness and image of God. God has no image, but through Christ. You have to remember that Christ is a deity. He is the Son is deity. Christ is the body, the outward body, that God created out of the dirt of the dust of the earth. And so Christ was a man, but yet God came to the world in that man. And God is triune, and we are tripart. We're body, spirit, and soul. And the soul always is, after the first couple, our original parents, our only parents from the beginning, the initial parents, they fell. And so all the children of those parents fell. We were born in a fallen state. And so in order to be reunited to the Lord, God gave us that spirit in us that we could, if we want to, because the soul has the will in it, but the spirit is the part of the tripart man, or tripartite man, that contacts God. We contact God with our spirit, not the body, not the soul, but the spirit. And that's what our spirit is for. God is a spirit, the Holy Spirit, and all those that worship God must worship him in or with the spirit, not the soul, not the body, but with the spirit. So the spirit in us is for contacting God. And so if the spirit that enters into us is the triune God, God Christ, who, you know, if Christ were just a man, then how could he enter us if he were not the actual divine Holy Spirit? He, his Father, and the Spirit are one. And so when God enters us, we ask Jesus to enter us because he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. God has no life for us unless we select Christ to be our life. So Christ, the Bible states that when he was born, it said that now Emmanuel, God with us, is born, God in a man. And so, yes, you do. Don't discount Jesus. If you discount Jesus, then you don't get to God. Because God said that he loved the world so much that he gave Jesus to you for the purpose of getting you saved, and for the purpose of you being able to speak to God. So if without Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit and who is also the Father, he said, I am the Father. When they asked him, show us the Father, he said, have I been with you so long, you know, that you don't know that I'm the Father? And then he also said, I am the resurrection and the life. That means he's the Spirit. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he stated, the Bible states that he is the quickening or the life-giving spirit. And so he is the resurrection. He's the life. He's the power of God. He's the wisdom and power of God. Without Christ, there's no wisdom to get saved. There's no wisdom to pray to God. We must thank God for sending Jesus into the world, because without Jesus, we have no life. That's why he is the life. Without Jesus, who taught us the wisdom of God, that Christ is the wisdom of God. In other words, what wisdom would we have if we had no way or knowledge of how to get saved? So salvation, the knowledge of salvation, which is Christ, is our wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
Our knowledge and our understanding, our ability to understand him. Now, yes, Jesus was a man, but he is now, while he was on earth, he was being regenerated just like we are. When we accept Christ as to become part of the aggregate lampstand. You know, I've seen one and two and three-way lamps before, but I've never seen a lamp yet that had seven ways to it, because the seven ways that the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation happens to be the seven spirits of God that are mentioned in the book of Isaiah. All right? Mm-hmm. And so this is the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, the fear of the Lord, and so on. All right? And all these are Christ. And then when Christ enters in us, then we are with his life, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in us. And like I said before, Christ was the Son. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever before he became a man. Amen? So he's still, back before he became a man, he was still the Son. Amen?
Amen.
He still was the wisdom and power of God. He still was the life. So he's God. There's no other way to say it. And so when people say, like the Muslims say, that Jesus is just a prophet and that he's going to have to be under subjection to Muhammad after the millennium or whatever, which is what they say, God created this Muhammad out of the dirt of the ground. Christ came into the world. He was the same yet before. He was came into the world as a man, made out of was given birth by Mary, a woman, but he had God in him. There was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When Christ died on the cross, the Father was there within him, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so God came into the world to die. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, this whole God unit, came into the world in a man and died for us so that we could have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so you say, well, do we have to pray to Jesus? Well, what do you think? If he's the power and wisdom of God, he's your salvation, your Redeemer, and at this very time, he is, well, if you're letting him, if you receive him as God and your salvation and your redemption, well, then he is being transforming you into the image and likeness of God, which makes you part of this lampstand that it talks about at the beginning of the book of Revelation, at the very end of the book of Revelation. The consummation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? The marriage supper of the Lamb lasts for 1,000 years. And during that consummation, the people that are of the Lord, the people that are the bride-to-be, that are the bride, will have be a bride for 1,000 years. And then after the wedding supper, then the bride becomes a wife. Amen?
Amen.
So you're a bride. How many times? You get, you're at the marriage supper of the Lamb for 1,000 years during the millennium. And then after that, the bride becomes a wife, and that is one with God. And this it talks about that in the book of Revelation. Okay, so we, Christ is above everything in the universe. And I don't hear preachers preaching much about that. But you'll have to get used to that if you want to be transformed into the likeness and image of Christ. And if you are, then you are the actual you're allowing Christ to live out his life in and through you. And so we have to be the image, the likeness of Christ after his incarnation. In other words, he has to be living out his life in us. That makes us bright and shining stars, messengers, as it mentions in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Okay, now keep reading. So, yes, you do have to pray in the name of Jesus, because you're signifying to God, saying, I believe that God, you came into this world as a man, that you came into the world as in the form of Jesus, and that you lived out your life in him. In other words, you tabernacled with Jesus, in Jesus. Christ was God's tabernacle. He lived, God lived in Christ. In other words, Christ was God's tabernacle. Do you get it? And so now, when Jesus became the life-giving Spirit, now God with Christ and the Holy Spirit tabernacles in us, and that's why we have to, that's why he wants to, for us not to do good or evil. He wants us to die out to the flesh, our former lives, and let him live out his life in and through us. And without acknowledging the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or the one who was God's tabernacle in this world, then you're saying that, well, God really never did dwell or tabernacle among us. In the Old Testament, it tells, in the book of Exodus, it tells about the tabernacle of God, where God dwelt in there. But not only God, God's people tabernacled in that same tent. They came in and lived in there with God. Who were the ones that lived in that tabernacle? It was the servants of God, the servers of God. So the only ones that are of the Lord, or the ones that really are a part of the lampstand, are those that are servers of God. Now, are you a server of God, or do you just serve yourself? If you're not a server of God, well, then you're not. He's not living in you, and you're not living in him. He's not tabernacling in you. You're not a tabernacle of the Lord, and you're not in him. Jesus said that he is the door. Jesus does not have hinges on him, or a doorknob, or a mantle, or lentils, that he is talking symbolically, that he is the way to enter. He's the tabernacle. He's the one that we're to go into, and we can come out and go into him. He, by the Spirit, he is living out his life through us. So he's the door, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Alright, so now continue on.
I want to do it right, so please get back to me on this.
Well, you will be doing it right if you pray to, you can pray to Jesus. And you have to know that if you're praying to Jesus, you are praying to God. And there's one mediator to God, and that's man, Christ Jesus. That means that Christ is living in you. And if you're letting Christ do the work in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is giving you the unction to pray, then it is Christ, then it is Christ as the mediator talking to God on the throne, which is Christ also. So your spirit is how to contact God, because if you're contacting God and the Spirit of God is in you, then your spirit is in contact with the Lord, and the Lord is in contact with you. And the trials and tribulations, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the pride of life don't bother you anymore, because, and you won't sin anymore, because the seed, the triune God, lives in you. And you're a burning light, because the light that's in you is the whole Godhead. All right? You understand?
Yes.
All right, then what?
I hope to hear from you very soon. Please get back with me on possibly moving up there when my time is done here. See, I'm looking at about 3 to 5 years in prison, so I thank you for your newsletters and your strong belief for our Lord. And I pray for you and your ministry always. May God be with you all. Robert from Fayetteville, Georgia.
Okay, I believe him so much I died. All right? And letting him live his life the way he wants to live it in and through me. All right? I don't have any qualms or wants or desires or anything like that. If I start desiring something, I just focus on the Lord. And I just let him, I remember that I'm dead. Isto morto. Amen?
Amen?
You have to be dead in order to have let God do his work in you. God can't do any work if you're still alive. It's impossible to see God and live. You have to die in order to see God. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, die out to your old ways. Because the Bible says that. Okay, then what?
Next letter is from Kogi State, Nigeria. Dear Pastor Tony Lamo, greetings to you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope everything is going on well with you and your ministry. Thanks be to the Almighty God. Pastor, thanks for the world newsletters and the articles, plus the Messiah book you sent to me. I am glad to tell you that all those materials have turned my life aright, more to Christ, and they enhance me more in understanding the Word of God. Sir, I have distributed the world newsletters you sent to me to my friend and my neighbors.
If you know the Word of God, then you know God, because God is the Word. Amen?
Amen.
And he came into the world. In other words, he became incarnate. And he's the same when he came into the world and before he came into the world and before he became flesh. And he's the same today. And he'll always be the same throughout eternity. That's one thing you can trust God in, is that he's not schizophrenic. He's not going to be one way yesterday and one way today, and we got to figure out what is still goes in the Old Testament, in the New Testament now. It's the same. It remains the same. Amen?
Amen.
Yesterday, today, and forever. So you can sit back and relax and know that God isn't going to pull out some new Bible on you at the judgment bar, God, and judge you differently than what he said in the Old Testament and the New. And forever. If you've kept the Lord in you and you've kept yourself mortified because he's in you and by your spirit contacting him, and when your spirit is contacting the Lord, your soul and your flesh are mortified. I mean, you just, the cravings of the soul, the desires of the soul, the will of the soul, it becomes numb. It's benumbed. It becomes, so to speak, dead. And your body doesn't do the things that the soul wants to do. Your body then, and the soul, begins responding to the spirit that worships the Father, worships the triune God. Okay, then what? Because the tripart man has got two problems with it. It's the flesh and the soul. So the spirit has to be, once it's contacted by the Lord and receives the Lord inside, I'm telling you how to have God's life live in you. Once he lives in you, then your spirit has the power to ignore the soul and the flesh and contact God constantly so that the flesh and the soul are mortified or dead. That's how you overcome. All the people in the church say, you know, I still have these lusts. Well, yes, if you're not contacting the Lord, then you're allowing your soul to live and your body to respond to your soul. And Satan is there always to entice the soul and your flesh to do the things that your spirit that is united with God would not allow you to do if you were in contact with the Lord. The spirit is for contacting the Lord. Okay, then what?
I have distributed the world newsletters you sent to me to my friend and neighbors after I read them, and I have seen changes in their lives. one of my friends confessed that God used you to open his eyes to know the secrets about the blessings of the popes by reading one of your articles entitled Beware of Receiving the Blessings from the Vatican, i.e. the Popes. I want to be one of your agents in Nigeria.
Right, well, the reason I wrote, I had seen a piece of literature like that before, and I just beefed it up a little bit and put it out, but that isn't, that just goes without saying. I'm just saying that to warn people that the Pope, who they just celebrated his death, his 1 year anniversary of his death, the Pope was a deceived man. He believed he was the vicar of God. And he really was a lost man. And at this time, because of the way I judge him by the Word of God, the Bible says that we ourselves, with our own judgments, are not to judge anybody. But by the Word of God, we can take the least esteemed person in the congregation, if they know the Word, and can judge all things. And therefore, by the God's judgment, this man is in hell right now, and everybody is paying all these homages unto him, and they just, billions of people are just speaking so many good things about him. But the Bible says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Of vu. Do people speak well of you, or vu, or tu? Woe to you if they do. Well, why so? Well, the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 26, says, it's because their fathers, so did their fathers speak well of the false prophets, the other false prophets. If you're truly of the Lord, hardly the world is not going to speak good of you or well of you. They're going to say you're a cult. So the Lord says that when they say these things about I'm a cult, well, then I'm supposed to leap in for joy, and when they persecute me, and just be so joyful that I go into tears sometimes. You know, I'm not really a weeper, but I'm so joyful because so they did the same thing to the prophets. Amen?
Amen.
And the prophets, so that means, I must be a prophet then, because they're saying the same things. And even worse about me, I've never heard anybody in the Bible being as defamed. They said Jesus tarried long at the wine. In other words, that Jesus was a wino. And that they said that he was a glutton. You know, he'd just sit there and stuff himself. Well, of course, they're false accusations. Amen?
Amen.
And the winos always use the scripture that Jesus turned the water into wine, so he must have loved wine. That also is a parable. I mean, it's a figure, a type, a symbol. You know what it's a symbolic of? That he changes death unto life. Amen?
Amen.
That's what that means, so that Jesus did the first miracle, which is a miracle that he keeps doing today. He changes. If you're dead in your sins and trespasses, he actually spoke the words, the Father in him spoke the words to Lazarus while he was laying in that cave, and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he changed the dead unto life. It's just the same thing throughout the entire Bible. God is not preaching death. He's preaching life. Amen?
Amen.
And his preachers are preaching life. But in order to have life, you have to die out to your soul in your flesh and let the Spirit of God resurrect your dead spirit unto eternal life. And by entering into your body, to invite Jesus into your spirit, with the Father, by the Holy Spirit, and then your spirit, which is dead at the moment, if you're lost, if you're not saved yet, it raises up to life. Because, and then you're saying, I'm letting my soul and my body you know, I'm going to feed my body because the Bible tells me to. But I'm going to deny my soul, soulish life, and live according to the Spirit of God. I'm not going to let my body have the cravings or my soul to have the cravings that it wants. I'm going to live according to the Spirit. Because the Lord saved my soul. He resurrected my dead spirit unto eternal life by entering into my spirit and saving my soul. And he forgave me all my former sins, so therefore I have become a resurrected spirit. And I know my body's going to die, but during the time that I'm serving the Lord with my spirit on this earth, I'm being constantly regenerated. So, we'll go ahead, because this is not the message that I was going to preach today, but I prayed that the Lord would take it over, and so there it is. All right, then what?
I want to be one of your agents in Nigeria.
No, be one of the Lord's agents. I'm just one of his agents, all right? And he wants you to be like me, an agent, or he wants you to die out so that he can live in you, resurrect your spirit, and mortify your flesh and your soul so that you'll be focused on the Lord and have life. He wants to represent himself. He'll represent himself. He doesn't need us to represent. He wants you to let him represent himself in you. He's a good representative. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. But your soul has to be, you have to lay it down in your flesh and let his spirit represent himself by your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So you yoke together with him, and it's the easy thing to do. You just have to receive it and surrender yourself completely unto him. Not your soul, because your soul is not going to benefit you, or your body's not going to benefit you at all. It's your spirit united with the Lord. It's the Lord's spirit that's going to benefit you and get you into the kingdom of God. And will resurrect you into the kingdom, okay, if you let him, okay, after the service. Then what?
I want to distribute your literature and books and world newsletters to people. But my major problem is that I do not have an English Bible which I can use for evangelism.
Well, that's no problem. We'll get that to you right away. Then what?
I want you to know that our major language in Nigeria is the English language.
Good.
I will be very happy if you can send me Bibles for me and my friend, since they have given their lives to Christ by reading through your literature and world newsletters. Pastor, though I have not seen you, I have faith that we shall see each other one day, if it will be the will of the Messiah, Christ. Sir, if possible, I want your messages on audio tapes and CD tapes, along with the Bible. I love you and your ministry. Plenty of blessings from God be with you and those people who are busy serving in your ministry. I would like to end my letter here. Yours in Christ, Ibodum from Kogi State, Nigeria.
Well, praise the Lord. Is that all the letters?
Yes.
All right, now Sharon, we'll go. We'll do some of this that I've written out this morning. We're doing this about, what, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning here. 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
See what we do for you out there? 5 in the morning. While you're sleeping, we're working here. Okay. Then what? Go ahead.
I believe God is the same as he was before his incarnation. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8.
Okay. Read it. 13. Well, I have it there anyway. Go ahead.
Says, quote, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever.
So if you he was the same yesterday before his incarnation, right?
Amen.
This is the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Am I making this up?
No.
Okay. Have you got it there in the Bible? Have you? Okay, she has it, but it's the Spanish Bible she's reading, isn't it? What does the Spanish Bible say? Come over here and say it in English. Hurry now. Because we're running out of time.
It says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, that was in the beginning. Amen. At the time that everything began, he was the same then as he is today. Amen?
Amen.
And he'll be the same forever?
Yes.
So we can trust the Lord then, right?
Amen.
We can trust this word because he's the word. We don't have to be double-minded, right?
Right.
We can just say, he's not going to change on us. You know, you can have some friends, you know, they'll come smiling at you, you know, one day, Then all of a sudden, the next day, you see him giving you a hard look, and you wonder, what's the matter? I haven't changed, mon. But why are you looking at me like that? And then the people have said, this man liked me, this brother all his life, and then all of a sudden, he just pulled out a gun and shot him. Well, the Lord's not going to do that to us. I mean, he's the same yesterday, today, and he'll always be somebody that we can love and trust. Amen?
Yes.
He's not a double-crosser. Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you. That's even in the Spanish Bible. Do you have it there in the English?
Yes.
Read it.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
So, let me trust somebody like that. Amen?
Amen.
Man, for thousands of years, he's the same. Even before he became flesh, God was the same. Even before God came into the world as in the flesh, he's the same. What do you say, God? Well, God the Father and Jesus Christ is the Son. Then the Son, amen,
amen,
was in him, the Spirit of him. And the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever before the incarnation. So since his resurrection, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus had no flesh before his incarnation.
Right, he was a spirit. Because God is one, and God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit was just a spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And so he didn't have any flesh or bones or blood. He had to become a man to have bones and flesh and blood. Amen?
Amen?
So that he could shed it for us. A spirit can't shed blood, can it? Well, there's no forgiveness of sins. The Old Testament says there had to be blood shed. In order to, there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And bulls and animals cannot wash away sin. They were just symbolic of him that came, was going to come. It was the same yesterday and today and forever that would come in the flesh so that he would have blood so that he could shed it for us and that we could be forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that takes some meditating. Should we meditate on that for a while? You just get the tape and meditate on that. And then what else?
God was and is the Word, and he became flesh to be our Redeemer, our Savior, and our life.
Yes. The Bible says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, God in Jesus said. And God in Jesus, the man, said, the words I speak to you are not my own, but they're the Father's that's in me. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The fullness, everything that is in God is life, eternal life. And so if he's in you, then you have it. You have eternal life. If he lives in you with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit live in you, you have God's eternal life. Then what?
Jesus, who is God, has even become the rich, bountiful, life-giving Spirit within us today. At the end of the Bible is the consummation of the processed triune God, while we, the bride, aggregate, and consummation...
The aggregate means, you know what aggregate means? Huh?
Yes.
What?
It's a combination, collect, put
together.
Yeah,
it was an aggregate. All of us born-again Christians who are members of the body of Christ, we're all the aggregate bride. All together we become the bride, not just one of us. Amen?
Amen.
Like the Pope says he is. He's a false prophet. Okay, then what?
At the end of the Bible is the consummation of the processed triune God, while we the bride...
Okay, yeah, that's the consummation of the processed triune God, right?
Right. While we, the bride aggregate, and consummation of
all... Oh, the bride aggregate, meaning together, all of us together as the bride, do what?
And consummation of all the redeemed,
yeah,
transformed, and glorified...
Yeah, we have to be transformed to be there with him. Amen.
Amen.
And how do we get transformed? By letting him be the light in us. In other words, letting him represent himself in us. And if you're not, if you're living a soulish life or a fleshy life, then he can't represent himself in you. So in order to be one of the aggregate bride, you must allow him during the time, the life of your body, to represent himself on a daily basis in you and through you. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
And glorify tripart man God and those of us who are redeemed.
Okay. And those of us who are tripart men, along with triune God. Okay, the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and tripart man, body, spirit, and soul. Body, soul, and spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Then we become one. Okay, go ahead.
And those of us who are redeemed with the triune God are the eternal couple who express...
Yeah, we become a couple. A married couple. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Because we let him represent himself in our... we let him tabernacle in us. Live in us. Tabernacle in us. And we... other people are tabernacling with him as well, or letting him tabernacle in them, and then he's the door, so we are going into him for advice and for direction and for strength during the day, and then we come back out, and in the world he says, I'm not taking you out of the world, I'm leaving you in here so that you can, so that I can tabernacle in you and represent myself in and through you. Do you understand, Judy?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
Are the eternal couple who express the triune God throughout eternity.
Yes, so we let him express himself through us here, and when we're there as the couple, in other words, we're the bride, we become the bride of Christ, and then after the marriage supper of the Lamb, we become his wife. And the wife and the husband are one. Amen?
Amen.
So we're a couple that become one. Then what?
We who are the tripart man shall enjoy our wealthy triune God eternally.
Our wealthy husband. Amen?
Amen.
We're a couple then. And that's why the Bible says that everything that God has is ours. Because everything that the husband has belongs to the wife. When you get married, you say, to thee I endow all my worldly goods. And so the Lord says, I endow all my eternal goods. Everything I have is yours. Because you are part of me. We're a couple. You're my bride. I'm your husband, he says. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I think so. Then what? I know so. Then what?
We who are the New Jerusalem are the called, saved, and regenerated. At this time...
We're the regenerated ones, okay? Because we're the serving ones. We serve him as he lets us. He lives his life out through us. Our body is acting as a vehicle for him to represent himself in this world. Therefore, we are his servants or his slaves, the Greek says, the original Greek. Then what?
At this time, we are being translated. We are the precious stones or building blocks being built up to become a spiritual house for the purpose of serving God.
Yeah, a spiritual house, in other words, or a tabernacle for him to live in. And he, all of us together become a tabernacle. The body of Christ that we live in eternally. Amen?
Amen.
That's how we become the bride and the wife of God. Then what?
For the purpose of serving God and become the body of Christ to allow him to express himself.
In and through us. All right, then what?
This is what we're called for. We are
this is the reason that God calls us to be saved. Not to, you know, that what a silly thing to think that we're just called to clap our hands and sing songs. Amen?
Amen.
Or to inherit a mansion. No, it's to let him live in us and us live in him, to be a couple with him. Amen?
Amen.
I see my time is up. We'll continue this mañana tomorrow, okay? Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So those of you that would like to be the tabernacle of the Lord or one of the tabernacles, God tabernacled in Jesus, the man Jesus, And therefore, he put him above all. And all of us that are in Christ will be sitting above everything in the universe as well, because we're in him, in his body. And so there isn't any higher office in the entire world or in the universe than to be in Christ and Christ to be in us. Amen?
Amen.
So if you'd like to have Christ in you and to be sitting with him in heavenly places, then just say this prayer to him and he'll come in. He says, all that call upon me shall be saved. So just say this prayer. Oh, Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's the Son of man, and I believe that he is been exalted because he submitted, he mortified his soul and his flesh, that your spirit would live in him so that he could become the Son of God and the one who would live in all those that would become sons of God and be his body, his bride, and that we would all be one in you. Father, I ask that I believe that Jesus Christ is all this, and therefore I ask you to wash away all my sins in the precious blood that you and he shed on the cross at Calvary. Lord, I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I believe he lives. And Father, I ask that you wash every filthy sin that I've ever committed away in your precious blood, in the blood of Jesus. And I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that everyone that calls upon you shall be saved, and that includes me, because I'm calling upon you. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. All right. Now, I promise that we will give you four different ways how to receive this program, if you'd like. It's program number 151, so tell them, Sharon, how to receive this. Please specify whether you want a tape or a CD.
Go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries at P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
Well, praise the Lord. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. We'll be doing number 50, How to Have God's Life Living in You. And until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you, praise the Lord. And keep thanking and praising him, because whether you just were saved this morning or this afternoon or this evening, if you're saved, just keep praising him all the time, because and keep letting him represent himself in and through you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.